Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Happy rainy Tuesday to you out there. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello is with me today. Yeah, Mello on a Tuesday. What the heck?
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't even ask permission. I just said, yeah, come on. Yeah, come on in. Yeah.
We won't be here Friday, so why not?
Boss can yell at me later if he wants. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yeah, I gave him some fruit this morning, some pomegranates.
You gave the boss fruit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was happy, so I think you won't get any tongue lashing.
Here's a hint. He likes dark chocolate. So if you need to butter him up, he's a dark chocolate guy.
Okay, and Diet Coke too, right?
No. Diet Mountain Dew with fresh orange in it.
Ew.
Is his favorite beverage.
That sounds so gross.
I've learned these things because I also know which side of the bread the butter goes on, yes. If you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah, the boss likes Diet Mountain Dew with fresh orange and dark chocolate.
Okay, that's
maybe not together. That would be weird.
I don't know. They have those little orange things, those little chocolate. Have you seen them? They're cut in the orange shape.
Yeah, the chocolate oranges. Yeah,
that might be a nice thing.
That's a Christmas tradition for sure.
I know.
Well, welcome everybody. Appreciate it. A lot of cool stuff happening. President Trump has asked Elon Musk to head the DOGE, the Department of Government. Efficiency or something like that to cut the waste. So we'll talk about that a little bit too as we get rolling here on the show. We're going to talk holiday shopping. Now, of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving. Friday, though, is what they call Black Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think online Friday. Isn't there a name for the online version?
I think it's
Cyber Wednesday or something. Is that tomorrow?
It's like a Cyber Week.
Cyber Saturday. I don't know. So. And really, this is a funny thing. So guys are notoriously bad. We procrastinate a lot when it comes to gift buying. I think the online stuff we're getting better because of the online. Because if you wait to order something online till the last week before Christmas, it ain't going to get there in time. Mm-hmm. And I think we have learned, and I say we because I'm including myself, I've done this. When you order a gift and then it says delivery date, December 26th or December 27th or something, and you're like,
feeling.
Oh, no, I blew it. There's not even, a lot of times there's not even an option, you know, pay an extra $9 or $12 or $30 to get it early. A lot of times it's like, sorry, this is the best we can do. Mm-hmm. So I think we've gotten better at going, okay, we need to plan ahead. But really, if you want a gift for Christmas, getting it right around now would be a good idea. So you make sure to get it in time.
Yeah, my husband usually goes shopping about the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas with his brother, and they're out all day shopping. And I know this about him. So one year I really wanted a Google Home. So I planned ahead, and I purchased it for myself, and I wrapped it, and I put it under the tree. And then I opened it on Christmas. He's like, why don't you grab that one over there? And I grabbed it, and it was a Google Home. He'd actually come through.
So you bought one, and he bought one, and you had two, and so, did you feel bad?
I felt so bad. So I returned the one I bought because I had the receipt. It was so embarrassing.
You, sadly, that's kind of a sad commentary on what our beautiful women think about us. They know we're going to blow it, so they just go ahead and take care of it themselves.
Right. I didn't want to be disappointed because I really wanted that.
I have a unique situation when it comes to that type of thing. My wife is kind of the opinion, if you want something, go get it yourself. And she never has said it that way because that sounds kind of rude. But the understanding is if there's something in particular that I want, instead of giving hints or even trying to describe it or whatever, she's like, just go get it. I'll wrap it. We'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm okay with that for the most part. Every once in a while, I'd be like, I wish I had some surprises, but there are rarely surprises when it comes to gifts.
And he actually did a really good job last year. He surprised me with a Bosch.
Bosch.
It's a mixer. It's a mixer for breads and cookies.
Oh, I see. Oh, a mixer. Okay.
B-O-C-H-E.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
B-O-S-C-H-E.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he's been upping his game.
What do you call him?
Stand mixer, I think.
A mixer, that's it. Yeah, stand mixer, yeah. Mm-hmm. My wife, that was like a big priority. We bought a secondhand one 20 years ago, and then we got a newer one here in the last few years. And it gets used, I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It does not sit idle.
No, I
get to use
it
a couple times a week. And then, of course, I have my daughter is a baker, professional baker. So she's really, when she's home, in fact, she comes home next week.
Nice.
Actually, this week, Saturday or Sunday, she comes home from Spain. But
oh, my goodness. That's amazing. I didn't remember that.
Yeah. She'll be, although she when I say comes home, she comes home to Utah. And but she's already got an apartment in Provo all set up to go back to school. So she's not coming home until Christmas. But
nice.
Yeah. Quite an adventure, an expensive adventure, I might add, having her in Spain the last 3 months. It's drained several different bank accounts, some of which are mine.
Uh-huh.
But she had the time of her life and has learned some, I think, invaluable things. And bonus, she didn't fall in love with a Spaniard and want to move to Europe. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, that was important.
Yeah, have her come back, actually come back.
Okay, I have a couple of news items, and we want to get Mello's reaction on these, and we'll talk about them a little bit. First of all, let's go with this one. A San Jose State University women's volleyball player, Blair Fleming, a transgender who was born a male, will be allowed to play in the Mountain West Conference tournament, including against Utah State University, after one of the school's volleyball players sued to have the athlete disqualified. And it says this is kind of a roundup. This is from Axios Salt Lake. We know more of the story. It wasn't one. It was six different, I think, total of 12 women sued to get an injunction, not only to San Jose State for what it's done to the rest of the league, but also to stop them from playing in this Mountain West Conference tournament. Now, a couple of things. This was a Colorado judge, and I'm not sure why it was filed in Colorado, except that's where the Mountain West Conference headquarters is.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is the reason. But the actual tournament itself is in Nevada.
Mm.
And, of course, it involves at least one Utah team, the Utah State University, an Idaho team, a couple of Nevada teams. I just don't understand why they left it up to a judge in Colorado. But, yeah, Blair Fleming gets to play. Now, it remains to be seen, Mello, will the teams that forfeited to San Jose State on purpose because this male was playing, will they go, okay, we're not playing you in the tournament either? Because basically this is a tough decision. That means that they give up any hope of going into any national tournament by forfeiting to them.
Mm.
Is the political statement worth that risk? And then you throw in the safety factor, too. Is it worth going on the court with a guy that spikes at 90 miles an hour?
I'm wondering what San Jose is going to do when all of these other transgender athletes actually compete and take over all the women's spots on their team, and it's all biological males as women in the whole conference.
It's a very, very dangerous trend. The thing I don't understand, Mello, is my whole life covering sports, I've operated under Title IX. Title IX was a government rule written that said, for every male athlete receiving a scholarship at a university, there must be a matching scholarship for a female.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it hard on a lot of programs because you have football with sometimes 70 scholarships, a minimum 45.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big number. So basically, you know, you go, okay, volleyball, it's going to be 15. Softball is going to be about 17. That's still not enough. We need to add another women, maybe a tennis team or a cross country or something like that. Title IX made it really hard, but I think it was a good rule in that it really promoted women's sports. It made women's sports what it is today, because without Title IX, we would have just had men's sports mostly, and women's sports wouldn't have flourished. And I love women's sports. I love softball. I love gymnastics. You know, some of these women's sports are just compelling and exciting. But now, where are all these people, these feminists, these women who said women's rights, women's rights, women's rights? Where are they now that transgenders are infringing upon their sports?
Yeah, I don't know where they are. I mean, they let transgender women take, like, Woman of the Year in some instances, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I think that's like the opposite of feminism. I don't understand.
Do you think they're feeling conflicted? Well, on women's rights, but also trans rights too. So, or do you think that's why we're not hearing from them?
It's flabbergasting. I don't understand where the feminists are protecting women's rights, and I don't know where the line got so blurred.
Agreed.
The men's rights to become women counts.
Agreed.
It used to be like a mental illness.
So, okay. So in a related story, and this is in California, imagine that in California,
mm-hmm.
but I was going to read it, but you know, I can just tell you the story. So there's a transgender that is competing on the cross country team at Martin Luther King High School in Riverside, not very far from here, actually, Riverside, California. And, basically took a spot on the team, took a spot on the varsity. And a couple of the girls were like, "Hey, this isn't fair. You're a guy. You just, you know, you're competing on the girls team that you're not a girl. You're a male born athlete who's competing on the girls team. We don't think it's fair." So they wore a shirt to school that said, all it said on it was "Save Girls Sports." Pretty harmless, right?
No, because I've seen this, but you can go ahead.
Okay, well, anyway, they wore the shirt to school, and the girls got in trouble. One of the teachers said, "You know, you wearing that shirt is just like someone wearing a swastika in front of a Jewish person."
Are you serious?
And no, that's what a teacher, one of the teachers, told these girls, that that was a direct comparison to someone wearing a swastika in front of a Jew.
That's ridiculous.
And these girls got suspended. Anyway, they filed a lawsuit, and, you know, saying that the school is violating the girls' First and 14th Amendment rights and Title IX protections. And that last part is actually just a little add-on to the end of the story, saying, "Hey, not only have you violated our rights by kicking us out of school, by not letting us wear these shirts, but also Title IX says girls should be on the girls' cross-country team."
Right.
Not girl, man, woman, transgender, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, this is still all up in the air. But I can't believe that, you know, and I know it's California, right? And you're gonna have your liberal teachers, and obviously, this teacher was like, "You know, that's just like wearing a swastika."
That's
just like,
ridiculous.
Are you kidding me? But I love that in the end of the story, and what these girls are doing, they're just saying, not only, you know, do we feel like our right of free speech was violated, but we also feel like it is just not fair that this guy, this transgender, this male who's playing on the women's team and taking our spots. It's just not fair.
It's not fair. And it's so sad because these women work so hard to compete at this level. And then somebody with a different biology that can run faster, throw farther, do all of those things, just swoops in and takes it. And it's just, it's wrong. And
wrong.
I don't know why people aren't seeing that. And it's just, people have to be so woke or they're afraid of the other side. But the other side's actually the minority. The majority doesn't feel that way. But the minority is so loud that they're scared of getting canceled.
Well, they're so loud, and they've created a culture to shame us if we state our opinion. You know, I mean, on this station, we have a little bit of a safe haven, very conservative station, very conservative audience. But if we were to state these opinions of ours right now that we're giving in a public forum that included liberals and transgenders, and we would be shamed. They would be like, "Shame on you. You are so unwoke. You are so unloved. You claim to be a Christian, and yet you don't love us transgenders. And you don't love..." And never once did we said that, by the way.
No, but I feel that because at my house, I do have a couple of girls that I've raised to be free thinkers, and they've gone to the other side. They're very liberal. And one of my daughters was like, "Oh, my friend now identifies as a they, them, so I have a hard time because I keep wanting to call her. And I said, "I just decide that their decision to want to be called something else isn't impacting my decision to make an assertion or a decision about what they are." And I can say that. And my other daughter's chimed in. She's like, "You are so rude, and that's just inappropriate, and you need to listen to what they want and respect them, and that's not respectful." I'm like, why is that respectful that I have to pretend
something that
I don't think is true?
So there was this clip. I don't know if you saw this clip. It's a British news show, and this news host, this woman news host, is about to interview a transgender. And it's something totally unrelated to what we're talking about. It was, you know, I was talking about some charity event or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the trend, so she introduces this person and says something like, "So how are you feeling?" And the transgender immediately didn't bring it up. The host didn't bring it up, but the transgender immediately said, "Well, I prefer they, them. So if you will call me they or them." And the host was like, I'm not going to do that. I am going to call you, you know, he or him or she or her, whichever you prefer. But I am not going to call you they, them, because that is improper English. The heck with, she didn't say this, but I'm saying it, the heck with, you know, how you prefer to be called. The truth of the matter is, I can't call you a they or them. That is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And this transgender person got so, they got in a hissy. They got, mm-hmm. they got so angry and upset and it derailed the interview. But mm-hmm. I'm right with the host. I'm like, why do I, like you were saying, Mel, why do I have to pretend, you know, that this reality of yours is my reality too? Mm-hmm. It's not.
I've also heard it said that people that are transgender, they get upset with you misgendering them, that maybe they need to do a better job of disguising what they really are, and then they won't get misgendered.
Oh, what a world we live in. You know, I talk to a lot of religious people, and they're like, well, they're free to choose however they want to be, and we will respect that. And I'm just like, yeah, to a certain point, right? Mm-hmm. To a certain point. But do I have to, you know, live and let live? Go, you know, we all sin differently, right? Mm-hmm. I got problems. I do things wrong. That's my sin. But I don't have to participate in your menagerie, you know, right. your alternate reality.
Yeah. That used to be a mental illness.
Yeah.
If you would think you were a different person or a different anything. And now you can be a cat, you can be a dog, you can be a person, you can be... I heard of a lady furry. And her kid was a furry, and she tried to take her kid to the vet, and the vet's like, no, I can't see you because I treat animals. She's like, well, my child is. He's like, no, I can't. And she was mad that he wouldn't see her child. Like, the world's gone crazy.
Got a text. That's how so many people were surprised that Trump won, because the silent majority stayed silent till they voted, and mm-hmm. then they were silent no more. Absolutely
agreed.
True.
Agreed. Yeah.
And I've said it many times on this show. I, you know, I've had an opportunity a couple different times to be in the public, in the public setting. Like when I went on that cruise out of Galveston, Texas, and I saw families, and I saw moms and dads and kids and grandparents, and I knew that reaffirmed to me that the silent majority really is the majority. America is still about families and moms mm-hmm. and dads and sons mm-hmm. and daughters and grandpas and grandma, you know, and I mean, why else would we celebrate Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
And that's actually, you know, we've got a break coming up, but I want to talk about this real quick. That leads us to the kind of the next topic, and that is what to do at Thanksgiving when you encounter one of them.
We are not talking about that at the table. We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about him.
Nobody talks about Bruno.
No.
That's a movie, right?
Yes.
I forget which one. Not Coco. Coco. Is it Coco? Coco?
I think it is Coco.
Oh, yeah. I don't. I can't keep all those straight. But you know, what do you do at Thanksgiving if you encounter this person? You're maybe at an extended family gathering, and you encounter this person who is triggered when they hear how conservative you are, is triggered if you wear a MAGA hat, is triggered if you, you know, say the things that we've been, you know, saying right now, Mello, that transgenders should not be taking spots on women's sports teams. And I have a relative that will probably be that way. And I know you have some very mm-hmm. close to you mm-hmm. that are going to be that way. My plan in the past, over the past 20 years, has been we don't talk about it. We we don't.
In polite company, shouldn't talk about what? Money, politics, and religion, right?
That's right.
So just talk about their family, their occupation, their recreation, and their dreams. That's what you should talk about.
Yeah. There was a song years ago, I want to say it was, what is the name of that group? I can't think of their name right now. But the song was called Don't Let's Talk About Lisa. Mm. And the idea behind the song was this girl broke his heart. And he said, we can talk about all the other women I know and this, that, and the other thing, but we're not going to talk about Lisa.
Yeah.
Because that's too sensitive. And you know, somebody said, well, just bring a roll of duct tape. And if it starts to turn to politics, just put the duct tape over your own mouth.
Yeah.
And I was like, can I put it on her mouth? No, put it on your own mouth and just let it go. Let it go. That's another Disney movie, right? Let it go.
Oh, Frozen.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Disney theme today.
So I just... I guess I'm going to have to try really hard to do that this Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I just hope nobody comes that I have to, I don't know. I don't think anybody will. We're going to be just fine. It's going to be a great day.
Well, one of the problems is that I talk for a living, and it's hard when somebody says stuff that I find contrary to my beliefs to just keep my mouth shut. That's really right. Hard to do.
Because usually nobody's arguing with you. You just keep saying what you want to say, yeah, right?
I get mean texts sometimes from people.
Yeah.
And emails occasionally, but mostly, yeah. It's my show. I can say
nobody's gonna yell at me. Exactly. That's what I mean.
And if I have someone on that disagrees with me, I'll just mellow them and turn you down. It's, you know, you can't. No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, turn them down.
Don't let's talk about Lisa. Look it up. The group is the same ones that sang Amazed, Baby, I'm Amazed by You. Shoot. Somebody's going to text me if you can remember the name of that. I'm sure it'll come to me, but maybe not till I'm off of the air. So let's do this. We'll check whether, maybe I'll look it up on the internet. I'll Google it. Maybe AI knows who.
Lone Star.
Lone Star, that's the band. You got it. Mm-hmm. You looked it up, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Commercial break, weather, more after this. Oh, you know what? Though before we go, I want to talk. We won't talk about Lisa, but we can talk about Angelica. Angelica's Mexican Grill. Now, Angelica's was the very first AG-approved client, so I'm going to play that sounder. Yeah. And Jack and Angelica were kind enough to say, hey, come on in and try our food. And if you like it, let's do an AG approved on it. Well, it blew my mind. It was so good. I'm one of those guys. I like to get something I like and get that every time. I know there are a lot of guys like that. A lot of you women are like, dude, that's nuts. Maybe I am nuts, but I always go to Angelica's and get the sweet pork quesadilla or a sweet pork mulita. That's basically a quesadilla with corn tortillas instead of flour and green salsa and lime juice, and it's just so good. In fact, I know we have family coming in. I have a bunch of family coming in tomorrow. And guess what we're having for dinner? Yes, we're doing Angelica's, and everybody's going, well, we know what Dad's going to get. Yeah, I get the same thing every time, but Angelica's is so good. They're located right downtown, 101 East St. George Boulevard, for great food and a great experience, and 4.5 stars out of 5 on Google reviews, which is phenomenal for a restaurant. You know, everybody has a beef with a restaurant. Oh, the food was cold, or they didn't bring it fast enough, or there was a piece of paper on the floor. So everybody's got a beef, but I'll tell you what, Angelica's just came through with flying colors, 4.5 out of 5 stars on Google reviews. Check out their menu. It's authentic Mexican food right from Angelica's recipe book. And by the way, Angelica is a naturalized U.S. citizen. She's from Mexico, but she went through all the process and took the test so that she could be a proud American. Again, it's Angelica's Mexican Grill, 101 East St. George Boulevard. Check them out online, angelicasmexicangrill.com. Angelica's is AG approved.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show. We actually had a guest scheduled for today, but they bailed out on us a couple of days ago. So I'm like, well, we could get another guest, or I could just call my good friend Melody Finlinson and say, Melu, help me.
I'm here. I'm here for you.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. We do have tomorrow, Carrie Rathje. And that's a hard name to say if you haven't said it. It's Rathje. Mm. Carrie Rathje is on. She is from the Water Conservancy District. Zach Renstrom is out of town. And so Carrie's going to come on. I don't know if she's bringing a guest or not, but we're going to talk water issues. And certainly when it rains like today, it makes her and Zach happy.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Farmer's Almanac, by the way, said we are in for a mild temperature-wise winter and a moisture-wise, a wet winter. So,
better word choice.
You don't like moist?
No, don't like that word at all.
I have a story about moist. It was about 10 years ago. I'm up at the University of Utah getting ready to do the state football championship. And I rode up with my buddy. This was when I was running a magazine called Southern Utah Youth Sports Magazine. I have a lot of pride in that still to this day. We had like 6 issues before the owner ran off with all the money, but that's a whole nother story. Anyway, I rode up with my buddy Robert Hoppe, who was an amazing sports photographer. And as happens when you get two immature guys together, and I feel like that is redundant, immature and guy, because all guys are immature, right? At some point as we got closer to the U of U, the word moist came up. Oh. And Robert, being Robert, says, "Hey, I got a challenge for you." He says, "I will buy your dinner tonight after the game's over if you can work moist into your broadcast at some point."
No.
And I'm like, dude, it's not even raining. How can I work moist into it? And he's like, "Hey, that's your problem, not mine." He says, "I'll buy your dinner if you can work moist into it." He says, "If you don't, and I won't be listening, so it'll be a kind of honor code thing. If you don't, then you buy me dinner." Hmm. And I was like, "All right, let's do it."
Could it be moisture?
Well, moist was the word. He didn't say I couldn't add on to it.
I love it.
Not only did I work moist into the broadcast, I said it 3 times during the course of the broadcast, including, so photographers usually shoot the first half of games, and then if it's not that close, they come up and work on editing their images in the second half. So he came into the back part of our booth and worked on his photos. And that was the second and third time I used the word moist, so that he made sure to hear it. But I will say this, it did actually start snowing in the game. Oh. And so using moist was actually pretty easy.
That's,
you know,
fantastic.
The ball was moist. That's why he fumbled you know, that kind of stuff. So
love it.
Yeah, I got a free dinner that night.
That's awesome. So. Should have got dessert because you did it 3 times.
I know. I should have gotten, or at least a drink on the way home. Yes. Something, anyway. okay, so, Mello, now you're an interesting case study on this next topic, and because you're divorced, and you had a husband who was in...
Philanderer.
Yeah, unfaithful. There's an article on freemansperspective.com called "Do You Have a Plan for Improving Your Spouse?" Now, I've always been of the... So, it's a weird thing for me. I've always been of the opinion, and I've told my kids this. I taught my kids this. I said, look, you're marrying a person as they are, which means you love them no matter what, the way that they are right now. Now, if they change for the worse, obviously, then circumstances change. If they change for the better, that's great. If you can influence them then to be better, then that's great. I said, but you're marrying this person as they are. I said, and you should do everything in your power to try to make them better. Okay. Not manipulate them, but support them.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
And so I feel like... where I'm at today in my life, I would not be anywhere close if I didn't have an incredible spouse who supported me, never forced me, never badgered me about doing things, but always supported me and said, and looked at my dreams and said, hey, if you want to do that, I support that. So, you know, for me, I don't feel like you should try to make your spouse better by telling them and pushing them, but you should always support them. So now let's talk about your two marriages. Okay. First of all, your first marriage. Okay. You had a man who professionally was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
He was a colonel?
He's a colonel in the Air Force.
Colonel in the Air Force. So professionally, very successful man.
Mm-hmm.
But his personal life, not so much.
No, he had a double life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A bad double life.
Right.
Not one that guys are supposed to have. He had... more than one, several girlfriends, right, over the years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, he lived with one of them, and I actually wrote checks to her for the rent because her name was Chris. And he's like, could you send my roommate the money for the rent?
Yeah.
And it was Christina, but it was Chris. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So many stories.
The level of deception. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so with your first spouse, did you feel like... Did you try to make him better than he was? Did it, maybe consciously or even just unconsciously?
I think then I was very very Molly Mormon. I was a stay-at-home mom for almost 20 years, mm-hmm. and I was very in-depth, and I did try to say, hey, you need to go to church when you're home, you need to do this, you need to do that. So I think I did try to encourage the behaviors I wanted to see. But I did hear something the other day that kind of stuck with me, and I'm kind of analyzing my relationships and what I think. Uh-oh. And it says, if you're nagging, if your wife is nagging you all the time, it's a plea to save the relationship. So it's not like I want you to do this. You have to. It's like, I want this relationship to work, and I need this from you to feel validated or to feel whole or to feel loved. And then when you don't nag anymore, that's when they're done. And that's when they're ready to leave. And I can see that, like, in my first marriage. Like, I would do this. And then finally, when I found out so we had a baby with somebody else who was my daughter's age, hid it from me for a whole year, and I still took him back one more time. Yeah. And then I said, if you cheat on me again, I'm leaving, and you have to move me back to Utah. You have to. And he's like, okay, I'll do that. No problem. I'm not going to ever do that again. And then he would go out while I was home studying because I was in school. And he would take all the kids. We had six kids. And he would take them out so I could have the house quiet so I could study. And then what he would do is he would meet the baby mama, like, out and about, like he'd be at the bowling alley or whatever. And he's like, hey, I just bumped into my friend. Do you mind if she bowls with us? Do you mind? So he'd go on a date with the other woman and my kids. But my oldest daughter was a senior in high school, and she already knew a lot of the backstory. Because when he had a baby, I made him tell the kids. I'm like, we are having no skeletons in our closet. I'm not keeping secrets for you. And then that's how I found out he cheated again. I was finally like, thanks. Now I can just move on. Like, I was just done. Just done.
Okay, back to the nagging thing. First of all, that has such a negative connotation, the word nagging.
Mm-hmm.
My wife actually hates that word, beyond it. Like, if she says something to me about something, if I ever were to, and I did early on in our marriage, don't nag. She would get mad.
Oh, yeah. It's a frustrating.
That's not a good word. But I actually don't necessarily agree with you about the nagging thing as far as the symptoms. To a certain extent, there are certain things that nagging, I think, is just not appropriate. I mean, you know, if you're nagging me to go to church, if you're nagging me to take the trash out, things like that, I don't know if that's the best way to do it. There are other ways to get these things accomplished. But again, I go back to, you married this person. My wife and I married each other with the understanding we were always going to be churchy people.
Mm-hmm.
We both had a strong belief in God. And I remember one time a friend of mine said, how do you and your wife agree so much on how to raise the kids and about church and stuff? And I said, well, that's who we were when we got married. We explored that before we got married. We knew that mm-hmm. about each other. And I know there are endless tales about people whose spouse changed or betrayed them. And, mm-hmm. and certainly you have some of those. But, you know, there truly needs to be a vetting process when you marry someone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can find these things out, but
Heard you should date somebody through all the seasons.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
How they are through all the seasons.
Mormons are notoriously famous for dating very, very short engagements. For
right.
Two,
well, there's
three,
a reason for that.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. Yeah.
Yeah. which we won't get into here. But at the same time, you can't.
You can't know somebody.
You really don't get to know them well enough. And that's what I've told all my kids. I'm like, don't, you know, go out with someone for a while. My youngest son, Bryce, he met his now wife when they were 15 years old. They were in an honors orchestra together. She was a friend. They were both French horn players. And so they've known each other. Now he's only 28. But they've known each other for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
When they got married, they both went on mission. When they got married, it was, you know, 7 years after they'd first met. And they really, really knew each other.
Yeah.
And I think their marriage is amazing. So.
Yeah. My first husband, I met him in August. I was engaged by December. I was a senior in high school. And then I was married by May, the day after I graduated from high school.
Wow.
And then my second husband, I dated him for 2 years.
Nice.
Because I had to know.
Way to learn. Good job. All right. Commercial break. Back with more. We're going to talk about smoking something.
Mm-hmm.
I have a smoking story. And then and how to smoke a good turkey for Thanksgiving. By the way, you should already be thawing your turkey out and brining it, hopefully.
Mm.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Good morning. It's 9:54. Yeah, we're running out of time here on the Andy Griffin Show, so I'm going to just throw a couple things at you real fast. First of all, somebody texted and said, what's your best smoked turkey recipes? There's a couple of things that are absolutely 100% mandatory if you're going to smoke a turkey for Thanksgiving. Number one, brine the turkey. Now, if you've never heard of brining, basically what it is submerge the turkey in moisture overnight, usually with salt. Sea salt or something. I have a special brine I got at Barbecue Pit Stop that it gives it kind of a rotisserie. Not an overwhelming flavor, just enough flavor. But if you do not want your turkey to dry out in the smoking area, you've got to brine it overnight. Give it 12, 14, 16 hours in moisture. That makes all the difference. I do that with pretty much any turkey I cook, even tenderloins. Mm. Brine them overnight. Number two, make sure you get a rub for the outside of your turkey that you really, really like, because that will be the, beyond the smoke, beyond the brining, the number one flavor will be whatever rub you put on it, and, you know, the dry rub. So make sure you find a rub that you really like, that is really enjoyable to you. If you do those two things, and obviously if you cook it, please don't take your turkey off until it's 165 internal temperature, because it can kill you if you take it out. Or there's no such thing as rare turkey. That's bad. Yeah. 165 internal. Other than that, you know, a big bird probably going to take 12 to 18 hours depending on how big it is. So make sure you smoke it long enough. Brining and a good rub are the two biggest things for me for smoking a turkey. I always spatchcock mine too, which means that you break, you know, the little bone that runs across mm-hmm. the back of a turkey, you break that and you lay it flat. That helps it get done all the way through in the middle.
Awesome.
So, all right. I found this article. It's about Mello, how to keep peace at the Thanksgiving dinner, but it's beyond putting duct tape over your mouth.
Oh.
But one of the suggestions is ask yourself, would I rather be right or be happy?
Mm.
And when I first saw that, I'm like, well, I'd rather be happy than right, so I guess I'll. And then I'm like, but wait, if I'm not expressing my opinion and I'm letting their opinion dominate the conversation, then I'm not happy.
Well, you need to learn to listen to both sides of the argument.
I'm stuck in the middle.
I know.
But what if their argument is flawed? What if there's, am I allowed to point that out? What if their argument is wrong? It's just off.
It's so hard, especially because my daughter is so animated and so mm-hmm. intense about her opinions on how I should talk to people and say they, them instead of he and she. It's so frustrating, but I'm like, I don't want to have this conversation with you. She's like, that's because you know you're wrong and you don't understand and you're so not smart. She says lots of mean things. I'm like, okay, well, that's your opinion.
I wish some of these young people that say things like that could understand that we have been on this planet a long time and we've seen a lot of things and mm-hmm. there's been a lot of water under the bridge, and I don't think even my own kids understand it sometimes when they say, hey, this is the way it is. And I'm like, well, you know, I remember when they all got married. I'm like, I can see exactly where you're headed with this. Mm-hmm. And I want to stop you from going there. And they're like, oh, you don't know. How do you know? I'm like, well, the thing is, I've been there.
I know.
I've done it. The reason that you're behind on your house payment is because you racked up credit. And the reason you racked up credit is because you didn't live on a budget. And, you know, just mm-hmm. the little things like that. It's like, I can see the problem. I can tell you the problem. But you don't listen to me because you don't mm-hmm. think that I know. But I know. I do.
It's true. But like my mom used to tell me, and I'm sure it's a famous quote, people convinced against their will are of the same opinion still.
Ooh, so, way to go, Mom.
Yeah.
You know, all the things Mom's taught us, they're turning out to be right.
I know. She also told me that you don't get brownie points for being nice to people who are easy to be nice to.
For being nice to you, I don't get credit for that.
No, because it's so easy to be nice to me.
Yeah, it is.
You got to be nice to somebody you don't like.
I don't
I won't name any names.
I don't know if I can. Yeah, I don't. I don't know if I can do that.
No, you can. You can, because that's where you get the blessings.
Would I rather be right or be happy? Well, being right makes me happy, so. I know the advice, I guess, with the duct tape may be the best advice of all, though. Mm-hmm. Carry around a roll of duct tape and...
How can you eat your turkey dinner, then?
Well, you know, and if they say something while we're eating, I don't know. I will be good.
I think you're going to behave, because I think your wife will be looking at you across the table, and mm-hmm. you'll be impressed upon.
Last night I made a comment. She's in Salt Lake. She's on her way back today, but last night I made a comment that about something about Thanksgiving with one of our relatives, and she goes, "It'll be fine, dear. Be quiet." It'll all be fine, right?
It'll all be fine in the end. If it isn't fine, it isn't the end.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. Tomorrow, Carrie Rathje, Water Conservancy District, will be here with me on The Annie Griffin Show. Sure appreciate you coming along.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.